everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Music Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Greg Dixon. We are live. Where's my guest?
Right here.
What happened?
What's going on? Oh, you can't see me?
What happened? I got scared there for a minute. Hang on. Let me share the show. Welcome to the show, Manson, everybody. Hey, this is The Music Show here on LA Talk Radio. We're live every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Saturday 10 to noon Pacific Standard Time. Big thanks to my sponsor, Liquid Death. I'm so stoked to have this guy on the show today. I've been a big fan of his for a long time. Mike Waters, also known as Manson, some of the best song parodies, best radio you've ever heard. Welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Oh, good to be here, man. Thanks for having me on.
Let me share the show because I want to make sure everybody could see because we are live today. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you.
I hope all's going well.
Everybody's in excellent health.
Cool. Hey, so, you know, I just want to jump right into things and just, you know, right out of the gate, just ask you, like, so are you originally from Tampa?
I was one of the rare people born and raised in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been out there? Like, just have you ever left and deviated California? Nothing. It's always just your childhood, high school, jobs, all that radio, the whole career has just been right there?
In 95, I moved to the Quad Cities in Iowa to do a morning show. And we lasted 1 year, and then they fired us and moved back to Tampa.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, you know, and I don't say this to just kiss your ass. Like, I really... you really mean a lot to me. You have brought me so much joy and laughter. Bubba the Lunch, it reminded me of the 80s in Hollywood. We're just like something that was only going to happen one time. It was so precious. You know, I live in Anaheim, California, and I own a business with auto parts, and I cover all of Southern California. And I've been doing that for about 17 years, and then I play in a punk band, and I have this dog and pony show. Well, every day from noon to 4 Pacific Standard Time, you four guys were in my car with me for 4 to 5 hours for 5 or 6 years. And I just got to tell you, like, I know so much about your show and so much about who you are. And you just really mean the world to me. And I just want to say thank you for doing this evening. And thank you for all the laughter that you brought, because dude, that was some of the best fucking radio in the world.
Well, you're definitely right about that. And it's my pleasure. I would entertain for free. I've always loved to entertain people. And, you know, I got to live my dream. I mean, this show, you know, it's the biggest show that actually was, but then never was. Because we reached the pinnacle. We were on Howard Stern's channel on Sirius. We were blowing up. We were going all over the country. We went to Calgary, Canada, and the Calgary Stampede. We played in front of 5,000 people with our traveling live show. We were just balling at Sirius, but that didn't. You know, but then it got screwed. Got screwed up. I mean,
go ahead. I apologize.
We were the next big thing. We were
the big thing.
We were this close to being the next big thing.
I always said, and I don't care what anyone says, if I'm an established radio person or not, I became a radio nerd when I started listening to you guys. And your show was better than the Howard Stern show quite a few times. That show was, and I used to tell people, if you've missed this movement, I remember sometimes going like, man, this show's been on the air for 2 years, telling somebody about it, going, and in those 2 years that this show has been on, you have missed so much already. You never knew what was around the corner. That was literally the dream team of what was going on in radio. And I would always be so memorized. Remember the whole thing, dude, where like you see a Bubba Army sticker, like you honk, you say what up. And when you saw that here in Los Angeles or Orange County, it was special. It was fucking special.
Yeah.
Full trucker effect right there, dude.
Yeah, it was in my opinion, it was the greatest show. When we were at our peak, when we were on Sirius Satellite Radio and we were just killing it, and every day was just something different, just totally outrageous. And usually, I think the strong point of the show was how funny it was. It's like
how funny it was.
And when your job is to go in and laugh and make other people laugh for 4 hours a day, it's not even a job. It's a dream.
Right. I remember people used to say the only thing they haven't done on that show is kill somebody.
I'm sure that would have happened by now if we'd have kept going. Yeah, it was. I mean, we shocked Howard. Bubba would go into Howard's studio, and Howard would just be shocked that Bubba was doing all this stuff. You know, right. He's shocking the ultimate shock jock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could have been part of our demise, is as you were saying, when people call up the Howard Stern show and say, "Hey, man, that Bubba show, man, we're liking that better than you now." That doesn't usually sit well with the boss.
Well, you know, absolutely, and that's you see where I'm going with that. You see where I'm going with that, and I'm sure you probably get tired of talking to a lot of people about, you know, back then, but I just wanted to emphasize and elaborate on that, how special it was. I mean, everything from the K5 McKillicuddy Jones on the warm line, all the, you know, the whole slang, the whole a whole way of language in that show that you would have to explain to somebody that's never heard it before. And that was just like, it's like a band that just sounds completely different than any other band, but it's just really amazing. You know, you go see those bands sometimes and all the songs sound the same. You know, it was the same with radio. Like, that shit was platinum. It was gold. It was literally the best. And I just wanted to tell you that because I'm fanning out to you right now, dude. But in Orange County and Hollywood, it was legit. It was so rad. So with that being said, so you have kids, you, your wife, Donna, you guys are still together. You guys.
Oh yeah.
He's healthy. You guys have been going strong. Did that really, when that all kind of went down, did you lose sleep quite a bit over that? Because you were really, I don't really know where the show kind of took a right turn and I lost it and everything kind of changed over to the podcast. Like, I probably, when you guys left SiriusXM was when it really, like, it seemed like you guys were only out there in Tampa on terrestrial. And then like the podcast became popular and online doing like what I'm doing now kind of became popular. So after you left SiriusXM, like, were you were one of the last ones with Bubba, right, on terrestrial?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you had the list of people who left that show throughout the years, it's about 60 or 70 people that went through the ringer. But we left Sirius, and while we were at Sirius, the last year we were there, we were doing 102.5 The Bone locally in Tampa and Sirius. We were doing both shows at one time.
Okay, I do remember that.
And we had great success on 102.5 The Bone, and we took that to number one. Then, you know, as usual, you know, we screwed it. Not me. I didn't screw it up, but somebody screwed it up. And then we went to 98.7, and it was in Tampa, and it was called Bubba 98.7. It was a show. It was a station named after him. I was doing mornings. I was doing middays. I was doing afternoons as Ned. And it just, you know, for me, it was the ultimate high. You know, I'm doing 3 day parts. I'm working my ass off, but I'm doing 3 day parts in my hometown. Right. And he cheated on the ratings and screwed it up.
Yeah.
But we were doing great, man. I got to live the dream. I got to travel all over the country and do these live shows and work with Howard Stern. I was happy being number one in Tampa. That's a great gig too.
Do you think you'll ever like maybe join up with another terrestrial station down the road or pursue something on your own with SiriusXM?
I enjoy, like, right now I just stream. I stream on Twitch and I podcast. And I do it because I love it. And I do it with my son, Trace, and my wife, Donna. And then we have a few other people who come in here periodically with it. And I just do it because I love it. And because now I have the freedom, like I had at Sirius, to say whatever the – can you cuss on this thing?
Yeah, you're good.
I said, so whatever the fuck we want to say. Right. You know, so we're hardcore. We, you know, we're an acquired taste like the Bubba the Love Sponge show because we're really in people's faces and cynical, and people, a lot of people don't in this day and age don't like that, but tough shit, we ain't changing.
No, that's rad. I mean, I remember when I started Googling you guys and like really like starting to miss you guys and figure out where everybody was at. And like, I think you and 25 were like some of the, you know, pretty much there till the very end. But yeah, I mean, you know, the way your song parodies and your comedy and the knowledge that you brought to that show was really cool. And, you know, you're always kind of that guy that wasn't over the top on the mic a lot. And you could tell the closeness that you and Bubba and Donna had at that time. And it was really special. And I'm sorry that it went the way it did.
You're
a good dude.
It's a tragedy. That's such a great show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my opinion, the best radio show in the history of radio. Yep. Such a great show was just wasted and then ripped apart. And it's just sad because, I mean, you know, I couldn't take the show anymore. I just couldn't take it. But I lasted longer than anybody. I lasted like 23 years.
Right.
And most people lasted a few years before they bailed. I just couldn't take it anymore. But we had the greatest chemistry.
Yeah.
Between him and I, we could improv. We improvised the show. We didn't follow any script. We didn't have any. You don't rehearse that. We would just always read us a news story, and then we'd take on the roles, or he'd be talking to Ned, and we'd just improv. Man, I think we improv better than anybody.
I agree. So, what do you do now? So, what's going on in Manson's world now? I want to talk about, you know, what's on the horizon for you. Plug all your shows, the Twitch and the podcast, because I definitely want to share that and get it out there on the West Coast. I mean, I'm sure you have fans out here, but you know, I'm always down to spread the word. I think that you probably have some of the best radio out there. That's why, you know, it was kind of shocking when everybody kind of went to this whole podcast theme. Remember that and everything? But you guys used to always say, if we go off serious, you'll always still be able to hear us. And you were kind of like ahead of its time, and boy, you know, here we are.
We kind of blew that one too.
Why?
Because we went to Radio IO, which was ahead of its time. It was an internet radio station,
And
they should have gone balls to the wall and advertised it and put money into it. And the app was the chief complaint among people was the app didn't work. And if you're going to start an app-based business, you should probably have an app that works. And I think that thing could have been huge, but it was mismanaged. You know, that's everything. a little frustration there.
So now I see why you just do it from your home now, right?
Oh, yeah. That's which is pretty good.
What do you do outside of radio to have fun in Tampa? What are you into outside of radio, you and Donna and the kids?
I've always been a real kind of low-key guy. I'm very easily satisfied. I like hanging out in the house with here. I got 6 dogs. I got horses. We got a lot of property. I've always enjoyed entertaining people. So I work a lot on the show, and I really enjoy doing that. I still work on bits for the show, you know, parody songs and bits like that. And, you know, occasionally we'll go out and have some drinks. I've always enjoyed conversation, going out and getting high and having some drinks and just laughing and having fun. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And now I do it, you know, on the radio. So
that's great. Do you ever get out of Tampa for vacationing? Do you ever vacation in California or anything, or go anywhere? Mexico? You just stay there?
We would just go to the beach. We'd go rent a house on the beach about an hour south of here. Because I mean, some of the beaches around here it's a tropical paradise. So why fly to Hawaii when you've got, you know, these pristine beaches right in your backyard? So we've always just enjoyed Florida, and right now Florida's kind of balling. Everybody's moving here, it's growing like crazy. So
yeah, I know. So I'm over here in Anaheim, not far from Disneyland, and I have a friend, and his daughter and son just moved to Tampa, and ex-wife, son-in-law, daughter, grandkids. Ex-wife, they're all in Tampa, Florida now. But you know what's funny about when you say that about the beaches? So we're out here, we have like Newport and Huntington, and we have like the LA beaches, like Hermosa Beach, Manhattan, out by, you know, the ritzy guys in Malibu and whatnot. And I remember the first time I went to Hawaii and I got off of a plane and I said, fuck, 5 hours for this? I go, have you ever seen Laguna or Newport? It looks just as good, if not better. So I totally hear what you're saying. I'm totally sensitive to that. I mean, you got everything you need right there. That's great. What you know, being that you're always so good with song parodies, are you a musician? Like, I never knew that about you. Do you play any instruments?
No, I was in a hair band in the late 80s, like 1988, 89. Right. And I was just a lead vocalist. And so I've always been able to, you know, get instrumentals and everything to do the parody songs.
That's where your timing came from. Knowing, like, your timing was always really good with the parodies. But what about the lyrics? Did the lyrics come easy to you? Or did you just, like, get high and have a few beers and, like, just start fucking with shit? Because, I mean, I would like you to explain this to me.
Go ahead.
I've never done parodies, and I've worked at a couple terrestrial stations. How do you get the actual just music with the vocals stripped? Start me there. Like,
how do you
program to do that?
How do you what?
Just get the music without the vocals.
You can get every song in the world on the internet now.
But how did you do that then?
Instrument. I would get karaoke beds. Occasionally, I would have people, you know, if it was something, a real project that I really thought was going to be good, I'd pay somebody to do an acoustic version or send me a tape that they recorded. So usually I was able to do it. I was almost every song I wanted to do, I was always able to find some way to get an instrumental or somebody to do it for me.
So if you wanted to do like a parody of like a cover band, like a Boston band or a Foreigner or whatever, or something like that, like you could, back then you were just able to, you would just get that from a karaoke track, just strip the vocals.
The karaoke tracks generally have no vocals, so
that's true. Duh, I didn't even think about that.
It wasn't that hard.
Yeah, that's okay. So then, how did the lyrics come to you? Were you good with lyrics? Because, or was it a lot of rewrites? Because you had some great words. Do you still rock those songs too today on your show?
Oh yeah.
Fuck up.
Just comes natural to me. It's a gift from Jesus Christ. Not really. It is a gift from somewhere. I have a gift to rhyme. I can out rhyme almost anybody. Just have a really gift at rhyming and a gift with words. And I love what I do. And usually I'm fortunate. There's usually only one, a little bit of a touch up at the end. But in the beginning of my career, the first, oh my God, 10, 12 years, I never wrote when I was high. Really? And then the last 12 years, I always wrote when I was high. there comes a time when you've been doing, you know, the same thing and the same characters and the same thing over and over again. You're like, I just need some inspiration because I have no idea where to go. And I've been so fortunate. I've had writer's block for maybe 5 total days in my entire career. It's just, usually stuff just comes to me.
That's great. You know, because the parodies, you know, on a lot of regular terrestrial shows were really terrible. And I remember how good your parodies used to always be. And you know what something else kind of trips me out too is, how did you always feel about, like, in the radio industry, like, you know, there's a station out here in Los Angeles, and I won't say the station, but I've always thought pretty high of these guys, and I will listen to them a little bit. They got a strong signal for Southern California, and I heard them biting, you know, some rhymes, like they were fucking stealing some bits from Stern. And I was like, and I was telling my wife about it. I'm like, fuck, dude. I was like, man, I don't think I can listen to them anymore. Like, did you ever catch wind of stations outside of Florida or outside of your coverage that were stealing ideas or parodies that you did?
Yeah, there were definitely stations that played our stuff, and we would try to track them down and, you know, tell them to shut it down or say, at least we didn't even really care. It's like, if you're going to play our stuff, just give us credit, which nobody does. Nobody does. Nobody's going to give you credit.
Nobody does.
So I think one of my earlier bits, Sense of Mia Street, was pirated more than any bit ever. Millions and millions of views that we never even got one lick of credit for. Marketing not our strong suit.
Is Is there a lot of terrestrial stations in the Tampa Bay area or in your surrounding areas?
Oh yeah, there's plenty.
Is there? What is radio like out there? Like, what, you know, this is a music show, so I don't really, I talk to a lot of musicians, a lot of bands. What are you into? Like, what kind of music are you listening to? You're a big classic rock guy, right?
No, I think
metal?
No, I think it really a lot has to do with just the line of work I'm in. And when you're doing music song parodies, you can't just keep parodying, you know, Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and
right.
all those old, you just can't do that. I mean, you run out of the songs the first couple of years. Right. So, and plus you want, a lot of times you want to parody the number one song, because that's what everybody, sure. you know, everybody's singing and everybody knows this new hot new song.
Right.
So I've always just listened to new music, and I've always gone around the dial listening to all new music. And it's popular music because that benefits me. I need to know the popular songs so I can parody them. So I just became a guy who likes pop music. So
yeah,
I'm a cheesy. I have my iPod is that of a 14-year-old girl.
Well, but you know what though? I do, you know, now that jogs my memory, I do remember you were always pretty hip with what was, you know, charting at that time. You would always do parodies on new stuff. I remember the Flo Rida one. You did that really quick. That was a good one. I remember you were very, very quick to the punch with that. And it makes sense, you know, that your iPod's like that, because I mean, it's the line of work you're in. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, you're right. You can't always be doing the same old songs that were done back in the day. So you've always expanded your horizons. That's pretty impressive.
It's boring. It's boring doing the same old thing too.
Totally. Totally. I will totally agree. Are you in any sports?
In high school, I played some football, and then, you know, in my 20s, I played softball, and now we play volleyball out here. That's our big time, is having some friends and family over and firing up the grill, getting some beer out there, maybe some shots, and right. just playing some volleyball. We got deer, we got wild turkeys coming through here. It's a pretty, pretty cool, you know, place.
Do you have siblings?
I got a sister. She lives in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about radio in Tampa, and it's real. I don't know how it is in LA, but it's really sad, and it's really a shadow of what radio used to be. Tampa Bay used to have the likes of Ron and Ron, which were probably a Southeast phenomenon, probably not out in California, but they were everywhere, and they were a legendary show, and Bob Lasseter and MJ and BJ and Jack Harris, all these legendary guys, and now it's just a bunch of, it seems like it's a bunch of interns have been put in the morning and given, they do the fake stuff like War of the Roses and all this cheesy stuff, and it's just like nobody even wants to think about pushing the envelope.
Right.
They don't even come near the envelope. They just, yeah. It's, everything is so safe. So I'm happy doing what I'm doing, because I can, I mean, you're still certain things you're not allowed to say, but it's pretty easy not to say those things.
For sure. And no, you have a good point. The terrestrial radio in the Orange County, Los Angeles area, and like, there's a part of out here called the Inland Empire, which is like Riverside, Corona. So in Orange County and in Los Angeles, terrestrial radio is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's really bad. Now you get in like Inland Empire, or you drive an hour south into San Diego. I'm an hour from San Diego. The terrestrial radio changes dramatically. And, you know, it's a trip, right? Because the way everything's kind of changed in the music industry, where, you know, now you have people that can do a podcast. You know, Eddie Trunk says it the best on Hair Nation, on Sirius XM. He says, you know, the good thing about radio and music now is everybody could put something out there. The bad thing is everybody could put something out there.
Ain't that the truth?
And it truly is, right? And like, you know, nobody's going to be a star anymore, right? Nobody, like, eventually there's going to be no such thing as celebrities, because everybody is a celebrity, right? I mean, look at me in my studio. I'm talking to a celebrity, and I'm a celebrity now.
But if you want to make money, there's only going to be 10 people out of all the people on TikTok. There's probably 10 people making money.
Right.
It's a big, it's a giant scam. Just to, you know, they pump these people up so that you think you're going to get rich on TikTok, and everybody thinks you're going to be a star, and yeah. they waste their lives away on TikTok.
On TikTok, not being able to buy music anymore with at the Tower Records, and you know the MTV is being gone, and how the music industry has really just taken a major blow on all levels, strictly because of electronic downloading and how the world changed with Napster and all that. But it almost seems like radio almost changed like that too. Where it's like, I look at radio and like radio could still be a hero. I look at MTV, I go, MTV could still be a hero. Like, you know, keep some of this stuff alive. Like there's some of the best songs written in the 70s, in the 80s, even in the 90s to present, people forget about. But at the end of the day, like these radio stations, they just stay in this one genre and they never kind of deviate from that. And it's very boring and very complacent. So you got a lot of people that are listening to SiriusXM satellite, or they just listen to their own stream of what they want to stream. Because I don't understand, like we have a low power radio station out here in Newport Beach, and it's a very small room. The guy pays $3,600 a month to have the place, and it's a low power station. It only reaches very a few miles out each direction. And I don't know how the guy makes money doing it. You know, there's no sponsors and it's terrible radio.
Well, maybe he just does it for the love of it. That's why you're doing it, right? For the love of it, right?
Well, no, right. But we're talking about like terrestrial radio where I look at him and I go, this is where you can be a hero. Like play these bands, you know, get more involved. Kind of like you broaden your horizons.
That requires a lot of effort, and it requires, you know, sometimes you run into problems and controversies, and nobody wants to do anything now. They just want to coast and not make any waves and not get anybody mad at them. It's really, and it leads to just a, you know, pathetic entertainment across pretty much all mediums of the United States. Yeah. Look what Chappelle's going through.
Right.
Preposterous.
Oh, good point. Very well taken. Yeah, I hear you loud.
So, radio sucks. And if you had some balls and went and actually did a station, you know, that was out of the box and really in your face, I think it would be huge. But nobody has the guts to do it, sadly.
Yeah. When you guys went to SiriusXM, what was that feeling like that when you first got that call to go? With all you guys, was it a big celebration?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty big. I mean, we got to go up to Sirius. We got to go. One of the first things we got to do was go to the Howard Stern Film Festival, and you know, we'd be treated kind of like VIPs. And it was surreal. It was surreal being at a VIP party with Howard Stern, and he was your boss. It was like, and not only your boss, it's like a coworker almost. So it was a dream come true.
And you guys would even go to New York and broadcast a few shows quite a bit, right, down there?
Not that often, but definitely, you know, made quite a few trips up to New York.
Yeah, I remember once on your show, for the first two or three years, I'd get a postcard in the mail on my birthday. And I thought that was just like the raddest thing. And then that stopped happening.
Yeah, it's the time. It's a great idea. Kept doing it. Sometimes, you can be a brilliant guy, but the business aspect could bite you in the ass every time because you don't know what you're doing. You know,
dude, you see that happen a lot, right?
What was that?
You see that happen a lot.
Hey, hell yeah, everybody. But, thinks
a bad attitude. You piss off the wrong people. And but you got such a great talent on the flip side, and you see that in the music industry a lot too. So was there ever talk about that feeling? I mean, for you and Donna and everything, did it change your life quite a bit going to SiriusXM? I mean, because you were already pretty well established, but did it really affect your life? Did it change it for the better? Was it? How was that? I mean, that's a big deal. That was a very big deal.
Yeah, we're pretty down to earth people, and I would say, you know, I mean, we pretty much
mansion.
We balled we bawled for about 5 years, and for bawling for us would be going out to dinner and picking up the check for people or getting around mm-hmm. the shots. So we're, you know, we're not huge, but we're not making it rain at the club. But no. But yeah, man, we had a hell of a time, and we traveled the country doing the Bubba Paloozas, the live shows we did.
So I remember.
We did it. We went to Phoenix. We went to Pennsylvania. We went to Canada. We went to New Orleans. We went to Ohio. We went all over the country. It was a blast. It was. I mean, we really were rock stars, and I don't know if we knew we were.
I remember when you were in those Bubba Paloozas. I can never get out to any of them. The Phoenix would have been the closest one for me to get out to. Do you stay in contact from anybody from the show, like you and 25, by any chance?
Yeah, I talk to 25. I always try to get him out here, but it's probably about a 45 to an hour minute ride to get to St. Pete from where I live. And that's, you know, when you live on the other side of the bridge in Tampa Bay, you just rarely go over it. Like, I'm not going that. So I've had him out here a couple times. We did a one show where we reviewed some of my bits, and I took some of the most racial bits because I thought it would be interesting to have a black guy and a white guy listening to racial bits that I did on Sirius, because they said, say whatever you want.
Right.
You know, Sirius, they said, you can say whatever you want. And we'd play the bits, and naturally, he 25, he don't give a shit. He'd laugh, and then we talk about it, and he'd say, that's not racial. I don't give a shit. That's just funny. So I loved working with 25. I'd latched onto 25 like a vampire. When I got him in the studio the first time, and he was singing something for me, I went, hey, that's pretty good. And he was really good playing parts, you know, in bits that I did, and in singing bits that I did. He was really good, and I used the hell out of him. Good, he was a good guy too. Good guy.
That's rad. Does he do anything in radio now?
No, I try to get him out of here all the time. It's like pulling teeth, but he's doing his own thing. I think he's trying. He's going to be an electrician.
Really?
Oh, if you could believe that, which is a good job to be having in Florida, high demand for that. So best of luck to Broderick. I'm still trying to get him out here. The Afro Cracker duets between Ned and 25 Cent, I think, were some of the most epic live comedic radio.
Yeah. How far do you live from the old station when you'd go in to do the Bubba show?
About 35 minutes. So it wasn't a big deal in the hours you work. When you work morning radio, you never hit traffic. You fly in there at 5 o'clock, and then 10:30, you're driving home. Nobody on the roads. It was a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. Hey, plug your Twitch page. I want to share that. I know I asked you about that an hour ago, but I sat out and talked over you. I apologize. Plug that Twitch page for us and your podcast and the times and all that, please.
twitch.tv/clusterfshow twitch.tv/clusterfshow We do a show every morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do a bar show on Friday nights. Ned is on Fridays. Ned in Your Head at 7:45 a.m. on Fridays. He does 3 hours of parody songs and bizarre commentary. And we bring it. We're not afraid to offend anybody. We don't give a shit. We like to offend people. That's how we got in trouble in the first place. But I'll never stop being true to who I am. It's just words. It's just words, man. It's just words.
I respect that. So it's the podcast.
The podcast is Cluster F Show, and you can download that. It's on all major podcast platforms. Cluster F Show. It's on all major podcast platforms.
Do you have an Instagram?
Oh, I do, but I don't remember it. I don't use it enough.
I just wanted to get that out there.
We got 17 irons in the fire. It's so hard to keep up with everything nowadays.
Dude, I remember when, what was it? God, I want to say it was Instagram, or no, I think it was Twitter. I remember when they first announced Twitter, and I was listening to the Bubba the Love Sponge show, and you and Bubba were talking about it, trying to figure out exactly what it was. Like, that's exactly when all these things started coming about.
If we'd have capitalized on and got in on that YouTube and the Twitter, but we were fat and sassy, man. We were crushing it and we didn't worry, you know, we didn't really put enough thought into expanding that brand, and you know, we should have, but hey.
Yeah.
live and learn. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I got into it about 5 years ago, about six now, on an internet station. I don't want to make it about me, but just I'll give you the two minute version. I tour around California in a punk rock band, and we're pretty well established. We play with a lot of really good punk rock bands in the punk industry, as far as, you know, the Pennywises and the TSOLs and bands like that. We're very fortunate to share stages.
Yeah.
With these bands. I'm a big classic rock metal guy. I love hip hop. My show's a music show. So I talk all music, everything, all genres, everything. I love all types of music. I'm going to see a ska band tonight in Long Beach. That's from London and they're never here. So long story short was we had a big show coming up. This guy wanted to interview us. It was a really nice internet radio station. I went down there, never knew the place existed. Did the show 20 minutes later, wrapped out with him and the owner, and thought about it and hit him up and said, hey, do you mind if I kind of like, you know, do you have a slot? Is it cool? Can I come try this out? I want to give it a shot. What's it take? What do you need? I go, is it a pay to play type thing? And so I started doing it there. And we have this big music convention out here called the NAMM Show, and people from all around the world come here. And I'm always involved in a lot of music places, whether it's backstage with some commercial bands and just some punk bands. And I made good contacts with people and I started getting their information. I said, hey, can I interview you? And I just got lucky. And I've interviewed Cypress Hill, JJ Fat. I've fucking people from Slayer, Rat, fucking, you name it, Buck Cherry, all kinds of different musicians. And it's what I love doing. Like you said earlier about the terrestrial station, I wasn't dissing on that. I was just saying that, like, yeah, he does it because he loves it. And, you know, you love it. I love it. And I got very lucky with guests.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to hang out. I mean, I got to hang out with so many cool people.
Yeah.
Being on the show.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, Cheech and Chong, all those kind of people. It was cool to meet those people.
Totally. And I was on a terrestrial show out here for a while up until the pandemic. And then I lost it because I didn't have sponsors. I got something brewing right now with another low power terrestrial station. And I've also got my name in the hat with Sirius XM. I got something brewing over there because they play our band on the punk rock channel. So, you know me, I'm hustling. I go, hey, dude, I do a radio show. You got any room? I don't need to make any money. I'll just do it for free.
Yeah.
You're the kind of guy we're looking for. I was joking, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the way radio is now, I think it's a trip. I think, you know, like this show right here, right? It's kind of like people have their like Netflix of radio, right? They just have their shit that they want to watch and that they're into, and that's it. And they just kind of stick to that and they don't deviate.
That's it. People are creatures of habit. It's very difficult to get people to switch from, you know, one thing to another.
Yeah. Hey man, listen, I really thank you for coming on and talking to me today. I wish you much more success and good health. You've brought me so many laughs and smiles back in the day, and I'm glad you're well and your family's well, and I'm glad that you're out and I can see you doing this. And if I'm ever in Florida, I definitely want to hit you up. And if there's ever anything you need on this side of the world, you know, you got my information, my door's open. But I just really wanted to say hi and let you know how big of a fan I am. And I remember those years, and those years were very special to me.
Yes, they were. They're special to me too. Hey, thanks for being a fan, and thanks for having me on.
But I'm still a fan. I still support everything you do, and I always will. And I think the world of you. And I just really appreciate your time this evening.
No problem, man. It was a pleasure. Take care, man.
Yeah, man. If, you know, maybe down the road we'll catch up and do it again. And if you got anything popping, make sure you let me know.
I definitely will, man. Take care.
For sure, bro. Have a wonderful Christmas and be good, okay?
You too.
See you later. All right, bye.